Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is found in the Gospel of Matthew in the 9th chapter. We read verses 9 to 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So far the text. In the name of our holy Savior Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, the family doctor, black bag in hand, arriving at a patient's doorstep, the practice known as the house call, used to be the cornerstone of medical care, especially in rural areas. Many years ago, doctors would make personal visits to their patients' homes, treating a wide variety of medical ailments, ranging from common colds to more serious ailments like pneumonia, infections, broken bones, delivering babies. Understand there's been a bit of resurgence of health care providers coming into homes to conduct wellness visits and run tests and help people with therapies and so forth. But having your primary care physician come right to your house to care for you and serve you, not very common. But though the golden age of house calls by earthly doctors is a bygone era, isn't it wonderful for you and me to know that our heavenly physician continues to make house calls? That's the subject of our meditation in the sermon today, that Dr. Jesus makes house calls so that he might apply to our souls, sin sick, his cure, and so that we may then have the privilege of sharing his gospel cure with other people. Now, one good Bible example of Jesus making a house call is the one that's written in today's text. We read here how as the Savior was walking along the road in or near the city of Capernaum, that he came into contact with a man named Matthew. Matthew was working his job as a tax assessor at a local tax office. Tax collectors, as you may be aware from your reading of Scripture, they were known for their shady lifestyles, their dishonesty, often inflating the price of merchandise and overcharging their clients whenever they could, pocketing the difference to make themselves rich. Jesus, however, didn't let that stop him from visiting Matthew. In fact, he made a deliberate choice to approach him while he was working at the tax office and invited him to follow me. And then Matthew followed Jesus, and we're told that he invited Jesus to come to his house, where Matthew put on a dinner party to which he invited his fellow tax collector friends and others known around town for their less than honorable lifestyles. Why did Jesus go there? What did he have in mind when he made that house call to Matthew's home that day? As Savior, he wanted to share with Matthew and with his dinner guests his gospel cure for their sin-sick souls. He wanted to do for them what the prophet Isaiah predicted the coming Messiah would do for people. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity pardoned, for she's received from the Lord's hand double, as in double grace, double forgiveness for all their sins. A couple other Bible examples of Jesus making house calls. You recall, remember Zacchaeus, the short man in Jericho? He was the chief tax collector, troubled over his sinful past, and he'd heard about Jesus and wanted to get a good look at him. So he climbed up into the tree to see him. And when Jesus walked under the tree, Zacchaeus perched up in that sycamore branch, up in the branches of the sycamore tree. Zacchaeus, come down so that I can come for a visit at your house, that he might share with Zacchaeus the words of eternal life. And you know the story of how that happened. He provided the cure for Zacchaeus' soul, the good news of forgiveness. Another Bible example is the woman of Sychar in John chapter 4, who had shacked up with a man. In fact, she had had five different men before him. Jesus paid her a house call of sorts out at Jacob's well, led her to repentance, shared his soul-healing word with her, that water of life that enabled her to have her spirit refreshed and to never be thirsty spiritually again. Examples of Jesus making house calls today. Consider how when he used his word to call you to faith, when he applied his gospel cure to your and my sin-diseased souls. Happened probably when we were baptized, or perhaps later on in life when we came in touch with the gospel. Jesus assuring us through his word, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And as far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I don't know if you noticed, too, in our hymnody, a lot of the hymns that we sing, this thought is presented of Jesus, our heavenly physician, healing us. A couple examples. One hymn we sing, Lord, open now my heart to hear, and through your word to me draw near. Let me your word air pure retain, let me your child in air remain. Your word inspires my heart within, your word grants healing. Healing from my sin. Your word has power to guide and bless, and your word brings peace, true happiness. One of our favorites, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is. He's your health and your salvation. From the Lenten section, come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows for you, for me, for all, in a full perpetual tide, opened when our Savior died. Come, in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, blind, here the guilty, free remission, here the troubled peace may find health. This fountain will restore, and those who drink, like the woman at Jacob's well, shall thirst no more. Also consider, friends, every time you crack open your Bible to give it a prayerful read, or when you search the scriptures using a Bible app on your phone, or when you set aside some time during morning coffee or before bed to ponder a daily rest devotion, or a Lutheran spokesman article, or a page in the Branches magazine, you ladies, or some other devotional perhaps that you use, it's Jesus making a house call. He's applying to your heart in a personal way his healing medicine, precious gospel medicine for our souls, or administering a booster shot, shoring up our faith, assuring us of his forgiveness and reinvigorating our spirits and confirming our hope of eternal life in heaven. Now back to our text. It wasn't something that met with the approval of the self-righteous Pharisees when they saw Jesus go into the home of Matthew. They grumbled. In fact, they said to the disciples of Jesus who were also there, "Why does your teacher lower himself in this way by associating with riffraff?" Notice Jesus' insightful response. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So in other words, he was saying, "You Pharisees, my purpose for visiting tax collector Matthew is to help him and his friends spiritually, to instruct them in my holy word, to enable them to see their sin sickness. I'll conduct a diagnosis for them, as it were, and so that they might find then, look to me for healing, for joy, comfort, and hope in the message of my forgiving love. An important part of my work as the heavenly physician is to show people the sin leprosy with which their souls are afflicted, for only those who have an awareness of it will want to see the doctor and seek the cure. And all you Pharisees have to do is flip through the catalog of your life's events to see if you qualify and need a Savior's medical assistance for the soul too. Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart? Have you worshiped Him sincerely from the heart? Have you exhibited a tender-hearted spirit towards other people? Have you been truthful in all things? Have you had holy desires and thoughts?" And so on. If you've fallen short of any area of holy living, Jesus was saying, well, then you need God's help too. You need a Savior to heal your soul. Isn't it a joy, friends, to know, because we can have the same, and Jesus would encourage us to look into the same mirror of the law, to ask those questions of ourselves, and we have to admit that we've fallen short of God's glory every day. What a joy to know that Jesus stands at the ready. He is eager, willing, able, and always with a good bedside manner, having genuine concern for our spiritual well-being. Know that we're not just a number to the Lord, but souls that He truly cares for and dearly loves. To have a Savior who diagnoses our sin sickness and then uses His expertise, His power, to make us well, which He has done. And that, friends, no matter how our physical bodies are feeling at any given time, can always say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Blessed verses from Psalm 103. Something else here from our Bible text that we want to be reminded of today. Jesus sought Matthew out that day to fill his heart with joy, the joy of God's forgiveness, and give him the comfort of healing of his soul and of having an eternal inheritance finally in heaven, so that then he might then also have the privilege of taking that precious gospel medicine the Lord administered to him and sharing it with others. In fact, he's the one that the Lord chose to provide us with the very first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, from which our text is taken. And a short time after what we read here in our text, we're told about how Jesus appointed Matthew along with 11 others to be apostles, part of the 12 whom the Lord chose to take the gospel message out into the world after his ascension. And Matthew also is traditionally believed to have traveled to Ethiopia in Africa, and some sources suggest he may have also taken the good news of Jesus into Persia, which is located in modern Iran. Somewhere I heard a while back that today one of the fastest growing churches in the nation of Iran is Christianity, and secretly, because what's going on there. So the Lord brought the gospel. It might have been through Matthew. Now, Jesus hasn't called all of us to be apostles or to share his gospel cure for sin-sick souls living in distant lands, but he has given to each of us as his believers the privilege of sharing his gospel cure with others in our particular circle of life, those near and dear to us in the family, with friends, neighbors, those also far away, through our mission program and with our prayers. This afternoon we'll have the opportunity to be encouraged in carrying out our calling as Jesus' gospel ambassadors at the Front Range Mission Fest service in Loveland, where missionary Nauman will be presenting a message of encouragement from God's word. Whether or not you're able to attend that service today, do be encouraged in your calling as physician's assistants for our heavenly physician Jesus. May we praise him for his love in calling us to be his followers, just as he called Matthew, and then giving us the privilege of taking what he's given to us and sharing it with others. This news of Dr. Jesus, who still makes house calls, comes to us through his word to heal us of a disease far worse than cancer, and who enables us to live on forever in a place we're going to enjoy perfect spiritual health, as we already do now, and then also perfect physical health with perfect bodies conformed to be just like his. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Salvation and uphold.